Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Angola, West Africa, our podcast on news, current affairs, and interviews on the country on the west coast of Africa called Angola. Today is the 16th day of April, 2021. What a great day, a good Friday. Hope everyone's doing fine. Before we get into the show, let's say a word about our good sponsor, High Performance Services, HPS Angola. HPS is based in Luanda and has been providing quality professional services, fiber and VSAT, onshore and offshore since 2005. HPS is fully licensed by INECOM, registered for importation, registered with the Ministry of Petroleum, and is current with tax payments at AGT, which all means less risk for you and that HPS is ready to support your requirements without hurting your reputation in Angola. HPS is fully insured to the levels required by our international clients and can provide certificates if required. Angola is still a bit unregulated in many areas, so do the proper background checks and then pick HPS to be safe and sure. Based in Luanda, HPS speaks your language in Angola. Go to HPS's website today at www.hps-angola.com for more information about their services and how to contact them. In 2020, HPS had record revenues during the pandemic, and this is only possible because of the service provided and the confidence of HPS's customers. You invested much to make it this far in Angola. Don't risk it with an unknown. Trust HPS to get the job done right. Contact HPS today to understand how they can help your business in Angola. Great group of guys there, so please check them out. Well, today we have a conversation with Dr. Jaime Kugel. What a great conversation it was. A real good friend of mine. I've known her for many years, and she is really a pioneer in the internet and technology space in Angola. So we hope that you enjoy the conversation, and please leave us a comment and rating on Apple Podcast. It will help us very much. We love you listening to us. Please help us out by telling at least one friend about our podcast. So for now, this is Douglas Black, your host, saying enjoy our conversation with Dr. Jaime. Hello, everyone. This is Doug Black, back with you on our podcast. I'm here with my very good friend of many, many years, Jaime Kugel. Jaime, thank you so much for coming by to talk with us.
Hi, Doug. How are you? I'm very pleased to talk to you, and hopefully we can have a very good conversation today.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have a very good conversation, Jaime. I really appreciate you coming by. You've got a lot of experience in Angola, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that you can tell our audience that they will find interesting. My first question for you is, how did you come to be in Angola? What brought you to Angola, and when did you come to Angola?
Well, Doug, I'm here in Angola, living in Angola almost 30 years because I'm married to an Angolan. So we decided to implement our projects and organize our life here in Luanda. Of course, we started living in Cuba because I'm Cuban. I met my husband when I was a student in Ukraine, in Donetsk. And we met and we decided to marry. He was living with us during 1 year and a half and didn't like it because we wanted to have our business, our home, to develop our projects in Cuba. It was not possible at that time. And we decided to live in Angola and started to design our projects in Havana, and then we continue and implemented the project here in Angola.
Wow, that's very interesting. I've known you for years, and I never knew you were studying in there.
Yes.
Where was it? Ukraine?
Yes, no.
Do you speak Russian, Jaime?
Russian. I was. Well, I live. I was. I, during 5 years, I was living in Ukraine, but for a long time, and I don't speak freely now Russian as previously I was speaking years ago. But I understand Russian, and I can read, and I hear the news, and well, it's not so difficult, the Russian language.
I don't know. I think it's pretty difficult, but that's really cool. That's interesting. Well, I know you and Silvio, your early projects had to deal with actually beginning to implement internet in Angola,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, that's true, Doug. When I finished my studies in Ukraine, I came back to Cuba, and I had the fortune to meet a group of Cubans, my friends, and my mentors, even today, they were working in the Academy of Science in the very first project related to electronic communication, trying to implement electronic communication between Cuba and Europe. It was very interesting. I joined the project, and myself, I started what we call industrial engineering, but I finished also my master in economy. But when I came back to Cuba and joined the project, this was very related with IT. I didn't know anything about IT at that time, so I was invited to study ICT. So I was studying maybe 3 years at night, just to understand how the electronic communication works, and mainly from the business point of view. So I joined the project, and was very interesting. It was a very good experience for me. When my husband decided to come back to Angola, we thought that the internet and electronic communication was a very interesting project to implement in Africa, in Angola, because already in South Africa and others, African countries, they were started already with this implementing the very new electronic email communications at that time. So we joined this effort with others African friends, and we started the project with we joined Alan Kane, that I believe that you know him from Development Workshop. He was running a project named Angonet, the first electronic mail project in Angola, and I joined this project as a system operator, and we started to develop the network, the electronic mail services, mainly addressed to NGOs, organizations, and embassies at that time. I'm talking about, this is 1994. I was explaining that when I finished the university, I joined a group of Cubans in Cuba, because I'm Cuban, and I joined the first project in Cuba related to the implementation of electronic communications in the Academy of Science. And it was very interesting for me, so I in order to understand how it works and make my contribution to the project, I was invited to study and to understand how the electronic communication works and ICT. So I studied during 3 years at night about the ICT projects from the business point of view, and I joined the team, and we started to implement the electronic projects in the Academy of Science in Cuba, in Havana. My husband decided to come back to Angola, so we come back to Angola, but with the idea to implement similar projects in Luanda, because we knew that in other African countries, it started similar projects, electronic mail projects, electronic communication, trying to make the connection between mainly NGOs and embassies at that time. So we joined a project already existing in Luanda in 94, Angonet, that was managed by the Development Workshop, an NGO, a Canadian NGO. Alan Kane understand very well what we wanted, so we made a very good team, and we started the first electronic mail network in Luanda. After that, when in Angola was approved the liberalization of telecommunication services, at that time we call it added services. Started the first ISP in Angola with the name of Ibonet. Was the first ISP in 96. Was very interesting. Was these were very interesting time. A very good team of Angolans. I was very surprised at that time because in Angola I found a lot of very good engineers and developers at that time. So we started the first Ibonet ISP in Luanda in 96.
Wow, you're like the Bill Gates and Apple of Angola. Now, the 96, was it hard to find equipment, technology at that time, Jaime, or was it readily available?
No, was difficult to find not only the equipment. The most difficult was to find the partners. Believing in this kind of project that is possible to implement, that was possible at that time to implement this kind of project in the country, because most of the people they didn't believe that was possible. So for me was the difficult part was not the infrastructure. I mean the equipment and the technology, was to find the right partners. Finally, we found the right partners, the company Synform, the owners of that company. They were very interested in the project, and because Synform was one of the very, very well known company at that time, specialized in IT, in training, mainly in training and developing also ERP software to support companies. We create a new company in order to implement the project. Was difficult to in terms of fundraising, very difficult, but okay, we make it. And in terms of equipment and the expertise and technology, we had the right partners. We develop very good relationship with experts from South Africa, from Canada, from the States, also from UK. At that time, there were many organizations from UN, UN related to UN, also mainly with the UNDP, and also with IDRC from Canada, that helped a lot us, and not only us, also other projects in Africa, in order to finally get the internet up and running in the country.
That's a fantastic story. Now, this business went on for several years, and then eventually you sold it, did you not?
Yes. 7 years, after 7 years that we were running Ebonet, we made a merge with NetAngola at that time. That was the second ISP owned by Systech, and we created a new company, a telecom company, with the name of Nexus. We were one of the fourth company that were awarded with the license to operate telecom communications, but not mobile, but fixed telecom service that were called at that time. And we create the Nexus. During six, 7 years, we were running the company. The network was growing at a good pace.
It was growing.
Yes. And actually, we had more than 200 clients at that time in terms of companies. We were more B2B company, telecom company, B2B. We implement the first FWA network in Luanda. Then we started to extend our services to Cabinda and Benguela. And after that, we decided to sell the company to Sonangol. Today, I think that was a very good decision at that time, because Sonangol, they were investing a lot of money trying to extend the telecom service in the country, mainly addressed to B2B, to oil and gas companies. And we sold the company to Sonangol. Yeah.
Now, at that time, was MS Telecom in existence?
MS Telecom, yes. MS Telecom was the telecom company inside the group of companies inside Sonangol Group. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you made the sale, you actually went then to work for MS Telecom. Is that correct?
Yes. We sold the company, and all the people working in the company, we migrated to Sonangol Group. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, say a little bit about MS Telecom. It was a full service provider at that time.
MS Telecom is a full service provider. Today is more, of course, migrating and developing during the last 10 years. Today, MS Telecom is not only a full telecom company, but also is involved in cloud services and digital transformation, but it's a telecom company inside the Sonangol Group, offering services addressing to oil and gas companies and the big corporations, the banking sector, also IT sector, banking and insurance, financial.
Right. Now,
I've read the big companies. Yeah.
Right. Now, I've read recently in the press that Sonangol, through the privatization program, eventually MS Telecom will be, shares will be sold, it will be privatized. Is that still going to be the case?
Yeah, this is the of course this is an official the information that we have. This is because the public, the government is trying to sell most of the companies when they have, you know, that you know that in Angola the public sector is was involved in most of the private and commercial activities in the country. So this is something that is changing now. So this is one of the measures that the decision that was made.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know. There's that the change where they're looking to privatize and move the economy forward. Well, yeah. Now, how do you see the state of Yes. Yes. Now, how do you see the status of telecommunications in Angola today? Is it up to par with the rest of the world? Is there still development to be done? What's your opinion of the status today?
I think that in terms of infrastructure, there have been a lot of investment in terms of infrastructure, a lot of efforts coming from the big telecom companies in the country. MS Telecom invested, Sonangol invests a lot of money in the infrastructure. Also Angola Telecom, of course, and the others companies as well. We have also the IT companies, not telecom mainly, but offering ICT services that are doing a very good job trying to investing in technology, investing in training and preparing the human capital. But I think that we have a gap, in the telecom, not telecom, but the ICT. In the ICT sector, we have a lot of work to do, investing in not only infrastructure, but investing in our engineers, in our technicians, in order to make capable our technicians and engineers to develop projects and end to end.
Okay,
explaining myself very well.
Yes, you are. I think technology is not the issue. The issue now is the development and of the human resources, of the engineers and the technicians, to be able to use the technology to take it forward. That's what I understand completely. Now, there's been talk also of a third mobile carrier in Angola. Where's that at? I haven't seen anything. I'm sorry?
Yeah, so far we have two mobile companies. So far we have two mobile companies running the mobile services. There is AfriCell, that is a Pan-African group that was awarded with the fourth license to operate mobile services. But so far, I believe that they are structuring, organizing, because mainly because of the pandemic, I believe that they delayed the roadmap of their project. But I know that they are hiring. They are hiring a lot of people. I mean, they are promoting publicly that they are hiring not only technicians but also people, technicians and experts from for the commercial services, for engineering, for finance, for the different departments of the future company, the future local company.
Okay, have they announced a service availability date yet?
No. The services are not operating. The company.
So they've not announced yet.
No. They are just hiring.
Okay.
I believe that they are hiring people, but they are not started. The services are not in place.
Okay. Well, yes. You know, my experience in Angola, looking at the telecom internet service offerings, it always seems to me that the prices are high and the capabilities and services are not very high. They're kind of low. Is that due to the lack of competition? Well, first of all, do you agree? And what do you think that might be the cause of that?
Sorry, come again. You were saying that lack of what? I lost the last part.
Well, I was saying my experience is that telecom services in Angola are expensive. They're expensive, but the options and capabilities that come with the cost are not that great. I mean, you pay a lot of money for basic service. And I was wondering, is that due to lack of competition or... Why you pay a lot of money? Why aren't the services much more feature rich than what they are today?
Well, Doug, the lack of competition is a fact, and I believe that the competition is needed. It's very needed in order to leverage the quality of the services, then to leverage the service offering also, the options, and I believe that also will help in terms of coverage, because still the services are still expensive. You are right. Then we don't have enough coverage in terms of telecommunication access. I think that we still have a problem with the last mile, access. Because I'm very involved with startup and entrepreneurship, I now understand very well and feel that there are a lot to do. There is not only to in order to the capex. I mean the companies they invest a lot of on capex, but this is not the main issue. The capex and the infrastructure is not only the problem. We need a different mindset as well, and how we will address the real liberalization of the services, the competition, the competition and the co-petition as well, and also trying to open our minds that we need to open the market. The market should be open and embrace the open innovation. Otherwise, we will keep ourselves behind.
Okay, that's I agree, Jaime. Now, moving on to another subject I know which is you've been very involved with recently. I'm not sure of the exact name, but I call it the Startup Incubator. You're heavily involved with helping young people in technology and new ideas and getting this started. It's like the Silicon Valley of Luanda. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that effort that you have ongoing?
Yeah, well, Doug, you're right. 3 years ago, we implemented the Startup Accelerator, an incubator here in Luanda. We are part of Founder Institute, a global network. Founder Institute is the biggest startup accelerator at the very early stage, what we call seed and pre-seed stage. And the Founder Institute is they are already in the market for 10 years, actually 11 years. They started the project started in California in Palo Alto, and I started to understand better the entrepreneurship and the innovation, and 3-4 years ago. Because I believe that in the corporations, sometimes when we are working for corporates, we are very close, and we don't know not always we know very well what is happening in the market. We are very very busy with corporate plans and the targets, trying to reach the targets and everything. And sometimes we don't know that there is another world outside, the company outside, the corporate, that it's challenging, it's also challenging. And and when we practice the open innovation, we understand that we can merge and trying to approximate, I don't know if this is the right word, but the corporate needs with the solutions that entrepreneurs are developing. And yes, we implemented this project in the 2018 in October, and we already accelerated 14 startup. Our mission is to what we call the entrepreneurship with purpose, which is trying to create a technology based business, but also addressing the social impact. Because I believe that the technology, when we use the technology, the business can grow faster and escalate faster also. And what we are looking for is to escalate this kind of businesses in Angola, and include Angola in the roadmap of a startup ecosystem and innovation in the continent. And this is what we are doing.
That's fantastic. I applaud you for those efforts. Now you said there. So far, you've done 14 projects, accelerations of startups. Is that the number 14?
Yes, 14. Yes, we accelerated 14 startups. We created 19, but 14 of them are continuing the funders. They continue the operating the projects. They are developing their MVPs. Some of them are already in the market. And we have two projects that are already not only offering services in Angola, but also outside of the country, which is something that is very, very nice, very interesting, very interesting.
Oh, that's very exciting. Can you give us a few details about the two companies that you talked about that are now providing service both in Angola and outside the country? Yeah, what is their service?
We have Nawabus. Nawabus is a mobility startup. The problem that they solve is something that initially we didn't understand it very well, but then when we were accelerating the project, we suddenly saw that this is actually a very interesting project. What they are doing, this mobility startup, is they have a platform, and then commercialize the public, they commercialize the tickets, and let me just come back again. Nawabus is a mobility company that what they do is commercialize public transport services. They have a platform, and people, they can access the platform and buy the tickets for the public transport in order to go back and forward from Luanda to the provinces. They have a network now. They have a network in different cities, not only in Luanda. They have a network of resellers that if you don't have a smartphone, you can use a feature phone. Or if you don't have a feature phone, you can go to these resellers and buy the tickets with already the when you will see it, what time the bus will it's a schedule for the travel, and they can buy the ticket back, and it's really very, very organized service that actually was we didn't have this kind of service in the country, because usually people, when they want to travel from Luanda to other provinces, was very difficult because of the lot of people trying to understand the schedule, then the schedules, the failures, they were not advised about the failures if something happens, and was very now it's a good experience for the users, a very good experience. This is it's very early. They are operating from 1 year and a few months, but the feedback is very, it's very promising. They started to commercialize the same service from the south of Angola to Windhoek.
Okay, very good. Now, financially, are they positive on their cash flow? Are they generating cash?
Yes, they are generating, of course. This is something that is starting, but they are generating a cash flow that it's allowing them now to hire. They are hiring now 5 or 6 new positions for the company.
Very good. That's
the most important is that they are helping other people to join the network as a reseller, and these resellers are hiring also locally 2 or 3 or 5 also in their location, in their cities. So it's something that is helping in terms of unemployment.
That's fantastic. That's a positive story. I hope there are many more successes like that.
Well, and the other thing is as we develop technology-based companies, of course, all the management of a company, the platform, everything is based on the platform, and they have also an API for mobile phones, iPads.
That's fantastic, Jaime. Congratulations. Now, if there are people listening to our show, both in Angola or outside of Angola, and they think, wow, I'd really like to help out on this effort, is there anything they can do to help the startup activity? What do you need? Or tell us, how someone might help.
Well, Doug, one of my dreams in terms of the innovation is to embrace not also the transformational innovation, but the disruption innovation, because I believe that the disruption innovation will help the country to solve problems at the very short, not too short, but short period, comparing with a lot of social and economic problems that we are facing in Angola. And one of the technologies that I think that we should understand better, and we should to look at the blockchain technology as a technology that sometimes I think that was invented from countries like ours because of the transparency that these technologies allow, the decentralization, and this is something that it's very important in terms of the mindset for our countries, not only in Angola, but also in Africa. And we have problems that we are facing, problems like supply chain. We have producers in terms of agriculture, producers in the provinces that they have production that is sometimes it's impossible to get this production in our market because of the supply chain challenging that we have. I think that technologies like blockchain can help us to address some of the solutions that we need. Also, in terms of financial services, one of the main problems that I think that we have today is our payments, the payments options in the countries are really, we are very, comparing with other African countries, we are quite behind. And the e-commerce will not develop if we don't solve and we don't open the financial system.
I agree with you totally. I mean, I'm a big proponent of Angola moving aggressively to adopt cryptocurrency of some form, either Ethereum or Bitcoin, and making use of that. The other thing that I've been a big proponent of is the blockchain, putting the asset sales on blockchain and making it, you know, available to buy as if it were a cryptocurrency. So, for example, we talked about selling MS Telecom. We'll sell the shares in an electronic exchange. I think Angola has the opportunity to really be a leader in sub-Saharan Africa. And through that helps the economy, helps the people, and puts them on a strong base for growth. Sorry to take over the interview, but I mean, I agree with you totally. And that's probably a subject for another show at some point in time.
Yeah, I'm happy to inform you, Doug, that one of the projects that we have in our, that one of the projects that we will accelerate is an exchange, is a crypto exchange. This is fantastic, and I would like to have contact with blockchain experts and in terms of crypto experts in order to mentor in and help us to get this project to the very good point, to get the project up and running, the first exchange in the country. We have the decentralized and centralized exchange, the both part of the project. This is very interesting.
Very exciting. I wish you the best of luck on that. Is there a website, or how do people find out more about what projects are active and where they are in the development stage, and just find out more information? Where would people go to find more information?
Okay, well, our website, the global website for Funder Institute is fi.co. This is in English, and it's the global web portal, including the 200 cities where Funder Institute is operating as an accelerator, as a startup accelerator. In Angola, because of the language barrier, we created our Portuguese. Our website, so the address is filuanda.au.
Okay. The other thing I'll tell our audience is if they do have an interest in knowing more, they can always contact me, and then I can get in touch with you, and we'll make sure they get the information they're looking for.
Oh, yes, of course, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I'm going to end up with a question that I'm dying to ask. After all your time in Angola, Jaime, where do you like to go for vacation inside Angola? What's your favorite spot in Angola?
Well, Doug, there is a city that I like a lot, and which is Cabinda, because the weather and the green of Cabinda, it's very similar to Havana. The hot, it's too hot like in Havana. So I feel myself in Cabinda like I was home, back home. But there are others. it's really hard in Cabinda. It's really hard. But there are, of course, There is a city that I love to travel to, this city, which is Lobito. And I always will try to pick cities and places near to the sea, because I'm from an island, so I adore Lobito. Lobito is really very, very beautiful city, and I like it as well.
Yeah, I've not had the opportunity to get there yet, but everyone tells me it's a very lovely place. How are the hotels there? Okay, I mean, if you travel in there, can you find rooms or to stay?
Yeah, if you travel to Benguela, yes, there are hotels, and the service are quite good. I cannot tell you about now, because we are for a year now closed, you know, in our homes, and it's really crazy. But before that, what's nice to travel to the provinces, not only to Benguela, but to other provinces as well.
Okay, very good. Well, Jaime, I've really enjoyed our conversation. I thank you so much for spending the time with us. Before we wrap up, is there anything that we may not have covered that you would like our audience to know about? If so, please tell me.
No, I'm very pleased with your invitation to, and I appreciate this conversation. I'm sorry because of the communications issues, and when we have communication issues during the interviews, I feel myself a little bit bad, and maybe this create a constraint during our conversation, but okay. And it's quite stressful, but it's okay. I'm happy to talk to you, Doug, and I believe that we can meet in the near future and continue to discuss about the potential of doing business in Angola now that the country is trying to open more mm-hmm. and more to the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the next few weeks I'll get my vaccination, and then the frontier with Angola will open up, and then we can get together and have a coffee.
Oh, yes, please, Doug, advise. And me and Silvio will be more than happy to talk to you and to meet you again.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, Jaime, once again, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time that we can talk. Have a great day, okay?
Okay. You too. Bye-bye, Doc.
Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Jaime, a really good friend. I always enjoy talking with her, and what an interesting career she's had in Angola. She's really been one of the pioneers in the internet space and the technology space in Angola. And even today with the incubator, the startup incubator, she's doing great things for the country, for the young people of the country, and she's helping to take Angola into the future. So you can check on our show notes that has the contact information for the startup incubator. And there's some other information there that you can find in the show notes. Once again, this is Douglas Black, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please leave us a rating on Apple Podcast, and also tell at least one friend about our podcast. So spread the good word for us, okay? We would really appreciate it. Next week, we're looking to have a senior executive from a new telecom information company in Angola that's called AnyConnect. Please tune in. You can hear about what they're doing, what new services they're offering, and how they're increasing competition in the telecom information space in Angola. Thank you very much, and have a great week. You've been listening to the podcast, Angola, West Africa. We certainly appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Thank you, and have a fantastic week. Until then, this is your host, Douglas Black, saying goodbye.